Hi, I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to the Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare. Well, today we're going to talk about the state of obesity in the United States. And we were, you know, just working on some more clever titles because I said, kind of sounds boring. It will not be boring, but right, you were right. Coming up with some clever ones there.
The skinny on obesity and
it's a heavy matter. We'll just stick with the state of obesity in the United States.
Okay, all right.
So, Dr. Prather, what is the state of obesity in the United States? And this is going off the 14th annual report.
Correct.
I know it can't be good.
Actually, there is some good news. One of the things that has been occurring with the state of obesity in the United States is it's just been skyrocketing. Mm-hmm. So if you go back to 1995, there was only two states that had obesity rates above 15%, mm-hmm. Indiana and Mississippi.
Oh, yay, okay. Indiana.
When you hit 2000, there was a big change that occurred. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, at that time, most states were above 15%. There was some below, you know, at 10%. But no state had reached 25% at that time. At this time, there are five states with obesity greater than 35%.
Oh my goodness!
And in 25 states, it's greater than 30%, and 25% in 46 states.
Now wait a minute! You said there's some good news. None of that's good news.
Well, it is, just because the rate has, in other words, it's not actually going at the same rate as, it's not growing at the same rate.
Yeah, but you said initially in 1995, there was only two states above 15%.
Above 15%.
Of fat percentage or what considered obesity.
Correct.
And now there is?
Five states above 35%.
Wow. Is Indiana one of those?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
It's in the top 10.
You said over 30%.
Over 25 states, 30%.
There's 25 states in the
over 30%. Five states over 35%. And 46 states are 25% or greater. If you go back in 1995, there was no state above 20%. There was no state above 20%.
That wasn't that long ago.
I know. In other words, this is a really alarming trend, mm-hmm. where the state of obesity has actually just been skyrocketing. And one of the things that has started to occur was that it was just the adults, but then all of a sudden the kids took off. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have the average obesity rate in children across the United States is 17.8%. Mm-hmm. Which is, if you go back to 1995, it was 5% or less. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've got a major problem here. As a matter of fact, they've called it the epidemic of obesity. And it's been
That's the title we could have used.
You're going to call it the epidemic of obesity. And that's what the government has actually said. The Centers for Disease Control is we have a obesity epidemic that is baffling. Hmm.
I mean, you just gave a percentage that half of the United States is obese.
Not quite.
As far as 25 states.
Yeah, if you're talking about over 30%, so one-third of the people.
One-third of the people, okay.
Are basically obese in the United States. And if you're talking about those that are overweight, it's 65%. Mm-hmm. So 65% of the adults in the United States are overweight or obese. Mm-hmm. And one of the alarming trends is that morbid obesity has just gone right through the roof. And that's over for males over 40% and for females over 45% fat percentage. Mm-hmm. So we have a very shocking trend that has occurred in the United States that they are saying that this is going to probably be the first generation that does not live as long as the generation before. And the reason is because of obesity is the major reason that the death rates are going to increase.
Wow, this is serious.
It's a very serious problem. If you go back, they estimate that if you go back to 1970s, less than 10% of the American population was considered obese. Mm. And then you come to today, and you're talking about a whole nother different types of situation. So there has been some type of a major shift that has occurred. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they have not come to any conclusion. I have my own opinions mm-hmm. on what's occurring. And I'm willing to share those opinions on what has actually occurred.
Okay. But before you do, let's talk about some of the health risks associated with obesity.
And, of course, one of the biggest things that's associated with that is type 2 diabetes. Mm-hmm. Type 2 diabetes has just followed the same pattern. As the obesity rate has increased, so has type 2 diabetes. Type 2 diabetes leads to all sorts of different types of problems. And weight loss is the cure usually for type 2 diabetes. You know, you lose the weight and that usually goes away. Mm-hmm. So that's very much associated with that. Type 2 diabetes also leads to a greater risk of coronary risk factor. Mm-hmm. Obesity also leads to fatty liver disease, extra stress on the kidneys, so we start to get into kidney failure. We also have a problem with the obesity cancer. Mm-hmm. There are certain types of cancer that are extremely related to obesity. Breast cancer, colon cancer, prostate cancer are all very much tied to that. So we're talking about quite a few different types of diseases that can occur. And it's a very serious problem, and we have a health crisis in the United States because of it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you saying that this might be the first generation
not to live as long. Matter of fact, they're very positive about that. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that has occurred is that the childhood obesity rate was starting to grow faster than the adult obesity rate. Mm-hmm. And that had never been a problem before. It was a very rare type of an aspect. But now it's a huge problem. But that has seemed to have leveled off. So that was a lot of the good news. Okay. So the whole growth rate has sort of reached it was not following the trajectory that it was before. Mm-hmm. But there's a study about a town in Mississippi where 50% of the children are obese. Mm-hmm. And which is shocking. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what is it that we need to do? What are the lifestyle changes that we need to make? How do we get this under control, which is a major push from the National Institute of Health and the Center of Disease Control in the United States?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're going to talk later in the show. We're going to address that. But how much money is spent on weight loss a year?
Weight loss is $150 billion a year industry. Matter of fact, they estimate that half of Medicare and Medicaid costs could be reduced if obesity was brought back under control.
Half.
Wow. So this is a major burden on the American government, on the people of the United States. It's probably could account for $5,000 to $6,000 per person in the United States.
How much was that?
$5,000 to $6,000 per person. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in other words, even if you're not obese or anyone in your family is obese, out of your own pocket, there is a great deal of money that you are losing because of the obesity that's rampant in the United States. So, you know, this is a something that is going to impact the ability for America to compete. We turn away a quarter of all applicants for the military because of obesity. They estimate that the production of the United States because of obesity has been decreased by 10%.
The production.
Production, yes. Mm-hmm. Because people are obese, the productivity, the amount of wealth that's produced by the United States is reduced by 10%, which is a very, very large number. Mm. So, you know, as if you are involved as an employer, if you're involved in any type of an aspect, this is preventing people from being able to go out and provide for their families. It's preventing people from being able to be productive. It's reducing, even if they are working, it reduces their productivity. So, you know, this is a major reason on why United States is not as competitive as other countries mm-hmm. for jobs, work, and businesses. So, you know, this is something that needs to be really thought about mm-hmm. and a crisis in the United States that affects everyone.
Okay. When we come back, more on the epidemic of obesity.
You can win a free 60-minute massage in a relaxing spa at the Prather Practice. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice. Dr. Prather, you talk a lot about structure function care and disease care. What is the difference between the two?
When you're talking about disease care, you're usually talking about an interference in the body's normal mechanisms. There is a time for that. When the body is actually in a process of free fall, is a good way to kind of put it, where the body is no longer making sense of what it's doing. And we're on a pattern that it will actually crash. Then you need some interference. And the best way to actually do that is through pharmaceuticals. Pharmaceuticals are classified as poisons. They actually take the body further away from homeostasis, which I'll define here in a second. Mm-hmm. But at those times, that is actually necessary. So when the body is in a crisis and is no longer able to heal itself, that's when disease care is actually critical. That's where you actually utilize the pharmaceuticals and the surgical methods. What we're usually involved with is in structure function. And as opposed to a disease care, it's health care. Everything that you use in a structure function standpoint is something to bring the body back into homeostasis, which is balance.
Okay.
Dr. Guyton talked about homeostasis as the definition of health. If the body can maintain homeostasis, where it's in a perfect balance with all the different types of things that are coming in that are interfering with its function, that is the perfect state of health. And that's based on a balance of the physiology functional and upon the structure portion of the structure function.
Well, you talk about the body as the hero. What do you mean by that?
Body has a self-healing mechanism to it that can just make all sorts of corrections if we can just get out of its way. The whole idea behind healthcare is to provide the impetus, the needs, and the basis of what it will take to actually get the body well. So finding out where it's off, doing the proper diagnostics, and then making the proper type of adjustments into the care will actually result in the healing and the position that the body should actually be in.
Well, find out how structure function care can impact your life.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope.
I feel good. I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not.
You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest.
We're talking today about the epidemic of obesity. And Dr. Prather, what you're sharing is so alarming. I mean, and when we took a little break here, I said, what generation are you talking about that won't possibly, because of obesity, live as long? Mm-hmm. And you said millennial.
Millennials.
You know, I was thinking.
No, you were thinking about the babies being born now.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's the millennial generation that they don't expect to live as long.
Wow.
They'll be the first generation that is has a decrease in lifespan.
And I know sometime in the show you're going to talk about your thoughts on this and why this is happening at such alarming rates. But before we do that, let's talk about, you know, what are body fat percentages that are considered obese? Let's define obesity.
The ideal weights, men should be under 20% and women under 25%.
Okay.
And then when you start to get to obesity, it's for men, it's 25%,
mm-hmm.
and women it's 30%, anything over that. And then for men, morbid obesity is 40%. Morbid obesity for females is 45%.
Okay. And that's body fat percentage.
Body
we're
fat
not
percentage.
Talking about BMI. We're talking about body fat percentage.
Yeah, and there are different ways of measuring it. One of the things that people look at is BMI, but that's not a very accurate way of mm-hmm. getting body fat percentage. The gold standard is the POD, where you get in there and then they do a measurement along those lines. It's pretty much 100% accurate. What we do in here is we don't have people do that. What we do is a bioimpedance, mm-hmm. and that has a error rate of about 2%. So we consider that mm-hmm. close enough to be able to determine, you know, what's a good fat percentage. BMI, you can have someone who has, like we have one guy who's a weightlifter, has 8% true body fat, but if you do by BMI, he's morbid obese, but he's not.
Mm-hmm.
And you can even have skinny fat, where your
which
fat
you
percentage
say is not healthy at
which
all.
Is even more of a problem for a lot of the health risks.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lady who came in here who was 120 pounds, had developed breast cancer, and we said that, you know, the fat percentage had a way to, you know, a big part of that, but she was 38% body fat.
Wow, at 120 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because she had no muscle.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, looking at the fat percentage is a very important type of way. And it's not just a visual type of thing. Because whenever you get into fat, if it goes too high, changes your hormonal system. Mm-hmm. It changes your pH of your body. It changes how your physiology changes. It is a disease process in people that causes serious problems.
Mm-hmm.
So
you didn't even touch on the physical
right.
problems.
Oh yeah, you know, joint pains, all the different types of things that occur on that. So, you know, it is the body is completely out of homeostasis, and we talk about homeostasis all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the big goal that we are trying to achieve for people, is to be able to get them back into homeostasis. And fat percentage is a very, very critical part of people's homeostasis. because of just the ramifications, the changes that occur that have devastating effects on your health and well-being.
Well, and everybody that comes in as a new patient, we do the bioimpedance testing on them so they know right where they're at.
And, you know, one of the things that we found as we do testing is that I feel that these numbers are conservative that we're talking about. I think that the problem is much worse than what is being reported.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So, Dr. Prather, how effective are weight loss programs?
They have done studies on weight loss programs to see how people fare. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, it's very discouraging. Matter of fact, they find that most people who go on a weight loss program in 5 years are way more than if they had never done one in the first place. Mm-hmm. So the effectiveness of the majority of weight loss programs is absolutely dismal. Matter of fact, as I said, most people are worse off. And the reason is that as people lose weight and they get onto a program, what you want to do is lose the fat percentage. Unfortunately, as you go on a weight loss program, most of the time what you do is you lose muscle and organ mass. Mm-hmm. So the body is geared to eat that up first. So as you are losing weight, you can be losing weight but not lose any fat. So the amount of fat that you have stays the exact same, and then when you go off the weight loss program and you put back on the muscle, you even have a higher fat percentage than when you started. Mm. And unfortunately, that's 95% of all weight loss programs is what occurs.
The 95%.
Right. So one of the important things that we do is we don't just look at weight. We look at fat percentage as people are. In other words, we measure fat percentage. Mm-hmm. That's what we're interested in. We're not concerned about your weight. Mm-hmm. What we are concerned about is your fat percentage, and as you know, that is what is measured. And if you're not measuring that, if you're just measuring weight, oftentimes you wind up with a higher fat percentage than when you started out, mm-hmm. Which is very detrimental. And as you continue to do that, then you continue to build up that fat percentage. You actually get worse and worse and worse as you go along.
So are there proven methods that are effective, you know, for weight loss?
There are. It's, you know, if you look at the science about it, if you get into it, there are ways to lose weight intelligently, mm-hmm. but it has to be monitored as you're doing that to make sure that you are losing weight properly and that you are reducing the fat percentage of your body. And getting the body geared towards a new system. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, the body has, once you get into a rhythm, the body doesn't like to change what it's doing. Mm-hmm. As people who are trying to lose weight are very frustrated because, you know, I've done all this, I've worked this hard, and I'm either haven't changed or I've gotten, you know, even worse. Mm-hmm. So you have to change how the body processes, how it thinks, how it has an image of yourself, what it considers normal. And if you can do that, then you have excellent results. And then in five, you know, then you have that long-term type of results that actually stick. And eventually you can go back to what would be considered more of a normal lifestyle. Mm-hmm. But so many people, when they have even been successful on their weight loss, have to continue to, in other words, their whole life is consumed by the keeping the weight off. Mm-hmm. You know, they have to keep up a certain exercise, they have to have a reduced diet on a continual type of basis, and there are ways to get around that if you understand the science and the biology of weight.
So, do you treat obesity here at the Prather practice?
We do. Matter of fact, we would be amiss if we did not. Mm-hmm. We are a structure function office that is working on restoring homeostasis. And obviously, one of the biggest problems that we have with homeostasis in the United States is too high of a fat percentage, which we know all the devastating consequences of the cardiovascular disease, the liver failure that starts to occur, the kidney failure, the increased chances of cancer, the type 2 diabetes. And if we did not address weight loss, we would be missing one of the major portions of what we're about. So, yes, we do look at that. We do understand and have studied how to lose weight. And we have a very, very excellent percentage of weight loss. And one of the nice things about it is that we keep the weight off. We don't have anyone who has really gained their weight back, their fat percentage, because we're watching it and then changing the physiology of the body. And as we change the physiology of the body, now we have a new homeostasis, which is a healthy homeostasis.
So, and part of that, too, I know here at the Prather Practice in treating obesity, lab tests are really important. Why are lab tests so important?
Absolutely critical. An example would be I had a well, I've had several patients who came in, and this is just an example. This poor young lady, I mean, she was working out 4 hours a day. She had tried every diet in the book. She had gone on many weight losses. She had done HCG. She had done everything. And she says, I can't lose any weight. As a matter of fact, I'm getting fatter. And she was crying at this point.
Right.
So I said, you know, I've got your lab tests here, and you are you have a ferritin level of 5, which actually qualifies you for a blood transfusion because you're so low on iron. And you cannot lose weight if you are iron deficient. You can't lose weight if you're, you know, if your liver's not working right. You can't lose weight if your endocrine system isn't working correctly. You know, there are so many different types of factors on that. We've had people who've had different types of infections. We've had abnormalities in the bowels, digestive enzymes. So what we're doing is we're finding out what are the barriers to losing weight. As soon as we got her iron up to 25, she was following our weight loss program, and her fat percentage went from 35% down to 25%.
Wow.
In 6 weeks.
Wow.
So, you know, in what they, what this poor young lady, I mean, everything that she did, all the effort, all the money that she had spent was wasted because the underlying medical condition that was preventing her from losing weight was not really discovered. So we are a true medical weight loss. And what we're doing is we're finding out what is every aspect of the physiology that is wrong, how do you correct it, and then when you can do that, then you can get the weight loss started. Matter of fact, oftentimes we tell people, no, we need to correct this first. Don't put out all that effort until we get this corrected, because you're just going to be frustrated because you're not going to be able to accomplish anything.
Yeah, take care of your health first.
Yes.
And why is the endocrine system so important in weight loss?
Well, there is a the hypothalamus is probably one of the most critical aspects of weight loss. There is an image, there is a percentage that the body has decided, and the hypothalamus is the main thing that's involved in that, which is part of the endocrine system, also even part of the brain. And there's really oftentimes between the nervous system and the brain that is the controlling factors of the entire body. And the nervous system and the brain tells the body what is normal and what should be accomplished. And specifically, the hypothalamus says, I want your fat percentage to be this. And it will do everything possible to keep that fat percentage at that level. So if the hypothalamus is saying your fat percentage is going to be 35%, if you don't change the function of the hypothalamus and how the hypothalamus thinks, it's going to be really difficult. And as soon as you stop working at it, it's going to take it right back there to that 35%. Which is very frustrating.
Yeah.
So there is a set, is what science has found, that there is in your brain, in your hormones, there is a set fat percentage that the body has decided is homeostasis. And if you do not change that, then you're working against the body instead of with the body. So we have means of changing how the endocrine system thinks of what is the proper fat percentage that you should maintain. And as we can change that, life becomes really, really easy on maintaining that weight at that point.
Sounds good. When we come back, more on the epidemic of obesity.
Listen to the Voice of Health Radio on your smartphone or tablet on all of the top radio apps available. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. You can find these apps and more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is the Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. Laughter is the best medicine.
I was driving down Shepherd Drive in Houston, and somebody cut me off, and I slammed on the brakes. And I'll never forget as I was going down thinking, this gonna hurt. And I wasn't wearing a helmet, which I know is stupid, but in Texas we have you don't have to wear a helmet law because we don't care about our stupid people. The ambulance came, they stuck me in there. And you know those ambulances, they don't have shocks. You could run over a quarter and tell if it's heads or tails. And then they said, what hospital would you like to go to? I said, the nearest one.
A special message from the DTS Weight Loss Center at the Prather Practice.
Are you tired of making the same weight loss resolution only to end up right back where you started? Let the professionals at DTS Weight Loss Center take all the frustration out of dieting. Our nutritionists and wellness coaches know what works for every body type and can develop a plan specific to your needs throughout your medically supervised program. Make the change by visiting us online at DTSweightLossCenter.com. Dedicate. Transform. Succeed.
When you call the Prather Practice to schedule your appointment at our DTS Weight Loss Center, mention the Voice of Health radio show and you'll receive a free initial consultation plus a free body composition analysis. 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. The DTS Weight Loss Center at the Prather Practice. Dedicate, transform, succeed.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a package loving you. No pills gonna kill my head.
I'm Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where we get to the root cause of your health issue.
We're talking today about the epidemic of obesity. And Dr. Prather, we talked about the importance of lab tests, endocrine system. You tell a lot of people you're not going to lose weight until we get you into homeostasis, right?
Correct.
To we heal that liver.
Effectively lose weight.
Effectively, right. Mm-hmm. And how important that endocrine system is. And we got to kind of outsmart that hypothalamus is what we got to do.
We do, and we have several ways of working with that.
Yeah, it gets comfortable liking us at a certain fat percentage. And
sure.
We got to talk to it.
We have to talk to it. We have to straighten it out. Say, no, this is not good.
Mm-hmm. Well, what role does stress play in obesity?
Stress plays a huge role in obesity. And the biggest thing that stress plays, and that's basically what occurs, is the cortisol level goes up, insulin, all the stress factors, all the stress hormones. And what that does is it lays down sort of that gut fat. So if you are in pretty good shape in the legs and the hips and, you know, elsewhere, but you got that gut sticking out, that's usually stress. And that's what they call the brown fat. And that is a type of a fat that accumulates basically because of stress. So you need to cut down on the stress factors, you know, the lifestyle types of things. But then we get in there and get the cortisol, the insulin, those things under control, rebuild the adrenals, rebuild the endocrine system, rebuild the body's ability to handle stress. And as we do that, then we can get rid of that brown fat in the gut.
Yeah, I was just, you know, thinking about some of the people have come in and, you know, the long working hours that people are putting in.
Yes.
Sitting at desks.
Yeah.
All day long.
The number of hours that people are putting in, you know, all these new types of technology, they were saying that the average person would be working 30 hours instead of 40 hours. The average person is now working 60 hours instead of 40 hours.
Really?
So the amount of work that people are doing has increased quite dramatically. The amount of the productivity of people has gone up too, you know, on their, because of the technology. Now, that's one of the reasons that the stock market has gone way up, is because of that productivity. However, the income has not gone to the people. It's gone to the stocks. So that also creates, so people are working harder for less money.
That is a stress in itself.
That's a stress in itself.
I am working harder.
And not, oftentimes, actually not making as much as they were. So, you know, there are some policies that need to be changed. You know, I actually agree with some of the thought patterns on that, is that the working class is being exploited, and that there needs to be a better distribution of income. So, you know, I actually see that quite a bit. And, you know, those are policies that are determined by the government. And that's some of the things that we really need to look at. Because the stressors that people are having is increasing just because there is, I consider, more oppressive work.
Well, let's talk about, now, at the beginning of the show, you said you had some thoughts of why the obesity rate is just skyrocketing right now.
Sure.
Why we have the first generation that won't, as far as longevity, will decrease.
Absolutely. One of the biggest things that has occurred, what is it that has changed in American society to create such a dramatic change in the obesity rate? And one of the things is the amount of chemicals that people take in. From 1980 till now, we have a 10 times increase in the amount of chemicals that people are consuming.
10 times.
10 times increase in the amount of chemicals that people in our food. The ability to make chemicals to make food pleasing, the chemistry has really increased quite dramatically.
And what do you mean by pleasing? Is it?
Yeah, it's what they were doing is if you were back in the 1960s, 1970s, and you got a frozen dinner. Those were pretty darn awful.
Yeah.
I mean, they were pitiful.
I never had a frozen dinner.
Right.
Not mom would, oh, never.
They were just awful. Now as you get them, they actually taste pretty good. And what they've done is they've been able to improve the chemical ability to preserve and to keep taste. Matter of fact, what they did was they got together with the perfumers because they found that their technology was very helpful in changing the taste and the flavor and the smell of food that has been frozen for a long period of time. So they put in a tremendous amount of chemicals to improve taste, pleasability of the food, smell, all those types of things, and they have been able to do that. So you don't have to necessarily find fresh food to be able to get the same taste that you did before. And so restaurants have been involved in doing that quite a bit. Fast food places are definitely involved with that. And then most of the food that has any type of a processing has a huge amount of chemicals that was not there before. Mm-hmm. And if it was just a matter of calories, people are not taking in more calories now. Mm-hmm. In France, they found that the French eat about 300 more calories than Americans do on a daily basis, but they eat fresh food that doesn't have preservatives and chemicals in it, and their obesity rate is less than 10%.
Mm, wow.
So
that's with more
calories. Is actually with more calories. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just like I have a friend of mine who, I have a couple friends, you know, who travel back and forth between Europe and one guy from Africa. Mm-hmm. When they go over there, within a couple of months, they lose 20 pounds. Mm-hmm. My one friend from Africa, he says, I eat about twice as much as I do in my native Africa, and I lose 40 to 50 pounds every time I go over there, mm-hmm. you know, within 6 months. Why is that? Well, they don't put chemicals in their food. Mm-hmm. You know, things have to be fresh. You know, so there is a problem with the way that we think and that we eat. The convenience factor. Mm-hmm. You know, people, you don't have someone staying at home cooking. So you've got two people who are working with a family, mm-hmm. and they both get home, and okay, who's going to cook supper tonight? Mm-hmm. No, what we're going to do is pop something out of the freezer, heat it up, and eat it. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't taste too bad. Why should we spend the time cooking? So, you know, there has been a change in how many people are working in the family, who's actually staying home and doing the cooking. And then we have a whole bunch of chemicals in our food. Also, we're talking about a higher divorce rate. Most people, when they get divorced, wind up gaining 20, 30 pounds because of stressors in the system. There are more stressors that are going on. The family unit is breaking down, which creates even more of a problem. So we have a society problem here. We have a food production problem that is leading to this whole obesity crisis that needs to be addressed and needs to be changed. Mm-hmm. We need to change policies. We need to change the things that are creating this type of a situation and see if we can get a society that is healthier, happier, and more secure in their life.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I know a lot of businesses, corporations are starting wellness programs because of the increase of type 2 diabetes and obesity amongst their employees. And sure. That's encouraging.
That is encouraging.
You're seeing more standing desks, you know.
And well, it's costing companies a huge amount of money. Mm-hmm. You know, and their productivity, their ability to compete on an international level is not there. Mm-hmm. With the obesity problem.
You know, and once people start on a program and an exercise program and just begin and getting healthy, it doesn't take too much to start seeing some change.
Yes.
That's the encouraging thing.
And one of the things, even if you make a 10% loss in body fat, mm-hmm. The changes are dramatic. Mm-hmm. And the problems with the butcher, you know, if you lose 10% body fat, what is it, something like 70% of everyone who is type 2 diabetic is cured.
Mm-hmm. Would be off their insulin.
Right. They find that 10% heals up the liver. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take too much.
See dramatic changes mm-hmm. just by those weight losses, and every percentage that you make gets you closer, and those percentages make a dramatic difference on your life expectancy.
Mm-hmm. So that's encouraging now.
That is very encouraging.
So when we come back, more on the epidemic of obesity.
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice. The three tests, Dr. Prather, that you suggest everyone have every year, you know, to give a complete picture of health is the Prather Profile Blood Analysis, the GI Effects Stool Kit, and the hair analysis. And what does the hair analysis reveal about a person's health?
Well, one of the most important things that we're looking on a hair analysis is the possibility of heavy metal toxicity. That can cause a huge variety of diseases and symptoms that can actually occur. Any type of autoimmune disease could begin with a heavy metal toxicity, or any type of neurological conditions, MS, ALS. A lot of those types of diseases can be kicked off by heavy metal toxicity. Including a whole host of symptoms that would be hard to explain any other way. The other things that show up with the hair analysis is the balance of the minerals. It can play a huge effect on the entire system. Now, when plants actually grow, they can actually make the fatty acids, the vitamins, the amino acids, but the minerals have to come from the ground. So if the minerals aren't there, they can't make them. So the most common deficiencies that can occur in nutritional health of an individual is mineral deficiencies or mineral imbalances. And the hair analysis is the best way to actually show up those changes that can occur.
Well, how does the hair analysis help find the root cause of health issues? And no pun intended there.
When you're actually trying to discover what's going on in an individual, so many things can actually result with a mineral imbalance or a heavy metal toxicity that it really behooves us to actually do that particular test. And that's one reason that I recommend it be done at least once a year. And if there's any type of important type of disease process going on or unexplained symptoms, checking on the hair analysis really can show a tremendous amount and cause reveal the underlying problem.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients. We're talking today about the epidemic of obesity and a lot of good information, Dr. Prather. But one thing we really want to focus on in this last segment is the state of obesity in children, because you talked about the alarming rate of increase in obesity in children.
Yes, something that we never used to see.
Mm-hmm. What is the state of obesity in children here in the United States right now?
Well, we have a childhood obesity rate of greater than 17% right now. Mm. They have been doing some studies on children. You know, one in three children is going to be diabetic.
Wow.
So kids that are being raised right now, one in three is going to have type 2 diabetes.
At this rate.
Yes. That has tripled in 10 years.
Mm. Wow.
Which is alarming. They have done studies on children. 91% have nutritionally deficient diets. So the diets of children is 91% does not meet the minimum daily requirements.
Mm.
91%.
Wow.
Less than 50% of all children get 60 minutes of daily physical exercise.
Wow. Less than 50%.
Less than 50%.
And I know they've taken a lot of those PE programs out of schools,
which is completely against all the recommendations.
That's kind of when we saw things change. Not only the chemicals added into the food, but PE being taken out of the.
Right. I mean, kids need that 60 minutes of exercise on a daily basis. 2/3 of kids have sugary drinks daily. And 25% of children watch 4 hours of television average a day.
Wow.
Which is really alarming. And one of the first places that childhood obesity should be started is breastfeeding.
Mm-hmm.
Kids who are breastfed have 1 in 20 chances of becoming obese. Children who are not breastfed for at least 6 months, almost 2 out of 3 are going to become obese at this point. Mm-hmm. So breastfeeding is probably one of the biggest determinations on childhood obesity. So really encouraging breastfeeding. And the reason is because it sets the gut, sets mm-hmm. the immune system. And those things determine a tremendous amount of what type of physiology that child's going to have. Mm-hmm. Breastfeeding is recommended that should be done exclusively for the first 6 months and should be done at least for 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
And having because so many women are working, you know, what they're recommending is that there be places for breastfeeding. That should be something that should be a standard in all workplaces,
mm-hmm.
that should be allowed.
I know our church has a nursing room.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So breastfeeding is one of the most important things on childhood obesity prevention. So that's one of the things we need to look at. We need to look at physical activity level, making sure that the physical activity level is high.
Mm-hmm.
That they have at least 60 minutes of exercise on a daily basis, and all children,
mm-hmm.
All the way even through high school, especially.
Mm-hmm.
Because oftentimes that activity, once they get into high school, is down. Exercise is best to have a combination of aerobic and resistance exercise.
Mm-hmm.
So 5 days a week of aerobic exercise and at least 3 days a week of resistance exercise
mm-hmm.
is what's recommended as the best. Water intake.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the kids are, their main fluids that they take in are sugary drinks, whether it's soda or different types of juices or other different types of things. And if kids could just switch over to water as their main fluid, mm-hmm. that would solve most of the obesity problems in the United States. Matter of fact, the number one calorie intake for children is sugary drinks.
Wow.
Number one calorie intake
mm-hmm.
by quite a bit. Keeping up a healthy eating time and then limiting the amount of screen time, and that means TV and computers mm-hmm. and video games.
Mm-hmm.
That should be set at a limit of just basically 1 to 2 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that should be it.
Yeah, and that's including being in the screen for
anything.
School.
Mm-hmm. School, anything. So children really need to be guided, directed on exactly how to live, and we as adults need to set the standards along those lines.
Mm-hmm. So how important is prevention in obesity?
Well, obesity is a very difficult type of thing to change.
Mm-hmm.
So when you've formed a fat cell, and even if you lose the weight, that fat cell is still there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy to fill that up again.
Mm-hmm.
So prevention is absolutely the best way of preventing of treating obesity. Mm-hmm. If you never become obese, your ability to take in the calories, to maintain everything is very, very high. In other words, it's easy to prevent obesity. It's very hard to cure it.
Mm-hmm. And how important is fiber? I want to make sure to get that in, because you don't hear enough about it, and we need a lot of fiber that
we
don't have it.
Men need 75 grams a day.
Wow.
Which is a huge amount. But usually the amount of fiber that we used to take in into our diet of our grandparents was reversed on sugar. So the sugar used to be a small amount. And so if you look at the amount of fiber that we should be taking in, it's how much sugar we take in. And how much sugar we should be taking in is how much fiber we take in.
Yeah.
And if you have a high amount of fiber, it changes the gut bacteria. If you change the gut bacteria, you can take in, if you have a high bacteria that handles fiber, you can eat 50% more calories. And it will keep you from actually gaining weight. So fiber is as we look at all the research, fiber is the number one thing that if you want to, one, prevent weight gain, or if you want to lose weight, fiber is the very best way to do it.
Yeah. Just invent the fiber diet.
Yes.
Well, Dr. Prather, we have a few seconds to close. What would you like to say about the epidemic of obesity?
Everybody needs to be aware of the risk at this point, especially parents. And if we can, one, get ourselves under control, but the prevention of our children and really watching and making sure that our children don't become obese is one of the main things as parents that we need to do. And if you don't know what to do, find someone who does deal with homeostasis, who understands weight loss, and can actually approach that from a scientific homeostasis standpoint.
Okay. Well, thank you, Dr. Prather.
Thank you.
The Prather Practice is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again here next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.